Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's Thursday, November 17th, and you are listening to NFL Total Access,
the podcast. Those are the voices of today's special guests. Voice number one belongs to the beautiful mind of the bearded, bespectacled, Bears apologist, the merchant of fantasy hot sauce, Adam Rank. Welcome back, Rankster.
Thanks so much. It was a little tenuous. I didn't know how I performed last week. It's kind of like when you are in I'm like the Taylor Heineke of this podcast. As long as we keep winning, I think I'm going to continue to be invited back, but you never know.
We're going to talk about Taylor Heineke in a moment. Voice number two, well, that's all me, sports fans. I am your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy, and today we will get game picks, score predictions, and fantasy tips for every single Week 11 game beginning on Thursday.
Yes.
Game number one of Week 11, the Tennessee Titans against the Green Bay Packers. Now, the Packers got that improbable, emotional win.
All of it.
Against the Cowboys.
And Mike McCarthy.
Gronk spiked his headset.
Oh, you're an adult. You're not some kid playing Madden. Show some composure out there, Mike McCarthy.
And the Tennessee Titans, of course, got a win.
Oh, yeah.
As they should have.
Well,
against the reeling, bewildering Denver Broncos, 17-10. And in doing so, they rediscovered a passing game. Ryan Tannehill back in the mix. Derrick Henry, surprisingly unproductive, did just enough to win.
Yeah.
Who has the edge in this one?
Westbrook Akine comes out of nowhere.
Okay, so let's ask about him in a moment. But first things first, Adam Rank, let's get your winner and your score for Thursday night. Titans, Green Bay Packers. How does this one go down?
I have the Green Bay Packers emerging victorious 25-23, although it goes against my better judgment. I know the Titan fans and I are now on good footing. But at the same time, the Packers have the edge here. Short week, Thursday night football. It is expected to snow, which kind of has me a little bit concerned because Derrick Henry can absolutely take over a snow game, but I do believe that the Packers have what it takes to win this one because they have a pretty solid running combination as well, and that is one of the things that helped propel them against the Dallas Cowboys. They go back to Aaron Jones. They go back to A.J. Dillon, and that opened it up for perhaps the star of the show. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, who snapped a five-game losing skid by posting season highs with a passer rating of 146.7, three touchdowns to the rookie, Christian Watson. But I don't like it. I don't like to sit here and pick the Packers, but I'm going to do it.
Well, it's hard not to pick the Packers. If you look just statistically, and obviously you and I both know that the game happens on the field. It does not happen in the stat column. However, the stats are alarming when you look at the offensive productivity of the Tennessee Titans. They are dead last, 32nd in the NFL in total offense. They are 31st in passing. They are 28th in first downs. Now, they are first in the NFL in red zone efficiency. When they get to that part of the field, they turn it into touchdowns better than anybody else in the NFL. Passing defense for the Green Bay Packers is third. Third down defense is also third, so that could spell major trouble for Tennessee. They are going to have to rely very heavily on Derrick Henry. The rushing defense for the Green Bay Packers, when facing somebody like that, they are ranked 26th in the NFL. So that is an opportunity. Is that where you see the 23 points for the Titans coming from? Give me a fantasy tip for this game. Who must I put in my starting lineup? Who must I avoid at all costs?
Well, it's going to be tough to run on the Titans, but I still like Aaron Jones to be peppered with targets out of the backfield, making him a safe fantasy play this week. I don't believe they'll be able to stretch the field like they did last week, given the weather concerns. That's why I would kind of avoid Christian Watson. I think that, you know, if you're worried about one of the running backs, you know, you could say A.J. Dillon, but I think he gets an opportunity to run as well. I think, you know, looking back in hindsight and looking at a total of 48 points, I might be a little bit optimistic here. But at the same time, I still think this has the potential to have breakaways because the weather can do some weird things. So I think Aaron Jones is very safe. Obviously, you're starting Derrick Henry, Aaron Rodgers. I think A.J. Dillon's a good flex play. And then, of course,
are you obviously starting Aaron Rodgers? I have seen on a lot of lists that I have looked at over the last 48 hours that Aaron Rodgers is a sit this week. You eschew that. Is that overcorrection?
No. I think that it's a correction. I think it's appropriate. I think that's an appropriate rating. Given what's happened to him over the course of this season, given the fact that I could see this being a little bit more run heavy, that if they get near the goal line, perhaps A.J. Dillon's punching the ball in instead of Aaron Rodgers throwing some cheapies. So if you're looking at Aaron Rodgers compared to somebody who we'll talk about for the next game, let's say Marcus Mariota, who's got a lot more upside with a better matchup in a game where the weather, that one's in Chicago, right?
That one is actually in the ATL. And with that question, let us turn now to game number two, Chicago Bears. Adam ranks Chicago Bears at 3-7. On the road in Atlanta to take on the second place in the NFC South and still, well, not quite dead yet, Atlanta Falcons in that NFC playoff picture. They are at 4-6. That game, Sunday morning, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Let's look at a couple statistical measures to help us organize our thoughts on this one. Offensively, your Chicago Bears are the best running team in the
NFL. Absolutely. In a walk,
and they are because Justin Fields is bossing the Moss. I mean, that kid.
Yes.
I'm as impressed with his pace as I am with his power. You saw what he did to that linebacker when he got into the end zone.
Destroyed that
past
young
week.
Man.
He ended that kid. Now, obviously, your Bears took a somewhat surprising loss to the Lions in that game. Do they bounce back?
To the Lions, yes.
Do they bounce back?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to get your score in a moment. Let's throw a couple other stat lines your way. You are first in rushing, but you are last in passing. This is a team that is suffering from a crippling imbalance. Very good at rushing the ball, very bad at passing the ball. Do these stats lie? Is there a truth that I'm missing?
I think those stats are lying. Justin Fields is throwing touchdowns. He has had multiple touchdown passes in the last number of games, but he's throwing the ball with efficiency. I think the run has really made it so dangerous for them to throw the ball. The only time that they really struggle having to throw the football is when they get towards the end of the game and they're a little bit more predictable. This is where I wish Luke Getsy, especially at the end of the game last week, you should have designed a run on first down. You should have let Justin Fields, you know what, you got timeouts to burn. Whatever it is, go out there and run the football. Let the Lions think that you might just run, because they just needed a field goal at that point. And I know that Cairo Santos was struggling that day, but you still just needed a field goal. Let the Lions think you're still going to run the ball.
This is a bad meets bad matchup, though. You are last in terms of passing offense, and yet the Atlanta Falcons defense, passing defense, also last in the league.
Yep.
I don't know who has the edge there. Clearly no one. Certainly not the viewer. On the other side of the ball, the Atlanta Falcons offense, fourth in the NFL in rushing offense against a rushing defense in Chicago that ranks 28th in the NFL. So that is a possible mismatch that the Atlanta Falcons will attempt to exploit. Okay, that is what's past is prologue. Give me a score, give me a winner.
Bears 31-30. Maybe Younghoe Koo misses a extra point that allows it. I think that I've had this too many points.
Bears 31-30. Over here.
The Bears have been averaging over 30 points per game. They've been hitting 29 to 30 points every game going back to that New England game. The one thing that scares me, though, is you talk about these numbers. Both teams have trouble stopping the run.
Yes.
Which could mean that it's a shorter game because the clock is constantly moving.
But we saw last week,
but there was a lot of points last week.
Yeah.
You know, with both these teams, with the Lions, the Bears, neither team able to stop either one of them. So many big plays. That's the one thing that's why I tend to skew towards a higher score, is because while the concept is there, when you're doing models like Cynthia Freeland, like the math will tell you that in a shorter game, the score should be lower, but because those defenses aren't good, there are more big plays which could lead to a higher score.
The game total for this game has been set at 50. Adam Rank sees it as 61, although he is questioning that as we sit here in real time. Justin Fields is a no-brainer play for a quarterback that is capable of rushing for over 170 yards. You start that man. Is there anyone else on the field, including defensive units, that you would start? I think the answer must be no.
Well, David Montgomery, number one, because Khalil Herbert has been put on IR.
Correct. The hip, he's out, so David Montgomery has to be in.
Cole Kmet. Darnell Mooney's not a bad option if the Falcons are struggling against the pass. They've allowed, the fourth most fantasy points to
and certainly the way you see this game going down with 31 points on the board, all of those guys feel like good plays.
Yep, and of course, Marcus Mariota is absolutely a great play. You know, if you're streaming a quarterback, and again, a lot of people probably have him rated above Aaron Rodgers, and it's one of those situations that if you ask a human being walking down the street, would you rather have Aaron Rodgers, Marcus Mariota? That person likely would say Aaron Rodgers. Fantasy terms, Marcus Mariota might be a better streaming option this week.
Well, you see 30 points coming from the Falcons, so it's hard to disagree if the game goes the way that you say it will.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Next game, Carolina Panthers at 3-7, on the road to face the Baltimore Ravens at 6-3. Ravens fresh, coming off a bye. Ravens are currently the 4 seed in the AFC playoff picture. The Panthers on the outside looking in all the way down as the 14th out of 16 teams in the NFC. On paper, this seems like a gross mismatch.
It does. Well, not only that, the Ravens are kicking off an easy stretch of games. They have the easiest strength of schedule the rest of the way.
Correct.
They're coming off a bye. They're a dark horse candidate to be the number one seed in the AFC this year. Considering, you know, you think of all the great teams in the AFC, it feels like, you know, there's so much competition, but they could end up being a dark horse candidate for the number one overall seed. But doesn't that lead you to believe that somehow, because the way the NFL works, the Panthers end up finding a way?
Well,
strange.
No, it's not crazy for you to say that. If we look at last week, of the 14 games, 9 of the 14 winners were vastly overlooked by most of the so-called experts in our sports prediction world. 9 of them. From the beginning of the week to the end, when the Commanders undid the unbeaten streak of the Philadelphia Eagles, teams that were not supposed to win did win. Is this one of those games? Before you answer, let's look at a couple of stat points. Baltimore Ravens are 4th in the NFL in scoring. They are 2nd behind only your Bears in rushing. They are tied for 3rd in big plays. They are 3rd in turnover differential, which for me is the most glaring and most glamorous stat of all for this team. On the defensive side, they are 3rd against the rush. They are 5th on 3rd down and 5th, as would be expected, in turnovers. On the other side of the ball, not a lot to like on either offense or defense for the Panthers. A couple of things that really stand out. This is the 30th ranked team in the NFL in total offense. That's the Panthers. They are 29th in passing. They are dead last on third down. This is a recipe for a rout, or am I seeing this wrong? Let's get a winner. Let's get a score.
Ravens 33-20. I'm not even going to mess around. I don't want to mess around. Now, last year, the Ravens were 3-7 after the bye, but I'm not going to get into that. You know what? Sometimes you just got to look at it and say, no. I know that weird things happen in the NFL, and like you said, there were 9 upsets or perceived upsets last week.
Correct.
At the same time, you got to take each game individually in a vacuum. I'm going to take the Ravens at a walk.
Lamar Jackson starts in this game on your fantasy team, obviously. Who else should I circle?
I believe that both Gus Edwards, if he's available, and Kenyon Drake could be in play for fantasy here. Edwards has received double-digit touches when he's been active. The Ravens have rushed for at least 150 yards in 8 consecutive games. The Carolina Panthers, one of the most generous defenses to opposing running backs. In a week where we're missing some big-name running backs, again, Gus Edwards, Kenyon Drake could both be slated in as RB2 flex options.
Your total in this game is 53, if my math is correct. I believe it is. That is 9.5 points over the total that has been set by certain people in a certain town.
I believe, you know what?
In this country.
I think that because Baker Mayfield's the quarterback, that there's opportunities for the Ravens defense to score some points on their own.
Very interesting. Next game, Browns at Bills. Browns 3-6, coming off of a demoralizing and honestly, a poor performance in Week 10. The Bills, of course, coming off of that impossible to see coming, the improbable, the shocking, the bewildering fumble at the goal line loss in overtime to the Minnesota Vikings. Everybody wants to tell me that the Vikings won that game. They did not. The Buffalo Bills lost that game. That was a matter of execution, not of capitulation to a better side. How do we see this one going down? Lots to like, actually, on both sides of the ball here. In terms of total defense, Buffalo Bills are second in the league. They are tied for third in turnovers and third in red zone defense. They are first in yards per play on offense. They are first on third down. They are the second ranked passing team in the NFL, the second ranked scoring team in the NFL, and the first overall offense in the NFL. On the other side of the ball, Browns offense, not so bad. Fifth total offense, fifth in rushing, second in big plays. The problem, of course, is on defense. They are 31st in scoring defense, 30th in big plays, and they are tied for 28th in turnover differential. This feels like a get-back game for the Bills. It's a game that they will certainly say they have to win to get some momentum back. They had a precipitous fall from the AFC top seed to now the AFC sixth seed. They went from being the best team in the AFC to being the third team in their own division. Do they get back? Do they get it right? Who wins? What's the score, Adam Rank?
I have the Buffalo Bills winning this one 30-24.
To 24.
I got to say this, you know, the Bills, you know, it's been back-to-back bad games for them. Like they lost to the Jets. Everybody kind of forgot about that game, the Minnesota Vikings. And I understand the Vikings, you know, I tend to agree with you. A lot of people, you know, we gather every Sunday. The Bears aren't on national TV. So I gather with a group of Bear fans down at Rip Beer Company in Huntington Beach, PCH location, if you're available on Sunday. But here's my thing. We all left when Kirk Cousins was stopped at the goal line. We're all like, at least the Vikings lost. Everybody streamed out. We left. It wasn't until later I was on a playground with my children.
Oh, my goodness. That
you're like,
the truth.
Learned the truth. And I went back, obviously, on Sunday night, watched the finish of that game. Truly amazing. Amazing that the Bills always seem to find a way to lose these big games. They need a signature win against a good team, but unfortunately they're playing the Cleveland Browns. So they're not going to get that this week, but they can beat a team that a lot of people had faith in coming into the season. But listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. The Bills went 2-4 from weeks 9 through 14 in 2021 before winning 4 consecutive games to finish the season. The Bills have shown this before, that they can come back from these losses, these improbable stretches, and play some good football. I do believe that they do it here. I have a lot of faith in them.
Now, you have the Cleveland Browns putting 24 points on the board. Yeah. Where do those 24 points come from? Does this mean that Nick Chubb, of course, is a no-brainer starter in fantasy? If so, who else?
Well, I think that Amari Cooper continues to be one of the most overlooked guys in fantasy football. And the Bills are banged up in the secondary. So I think that when you look at the entirety of the season, the Bills' numbers are impressive. But when you start to take a look at what's happened recently, like what have the Bills allowed recently? Like you can see some team. You saw Justin Jefferson. Like they're still, like they've allowed the, what is it, 11th most fantasy points to wide receivers over the last month. And of course, a lot of that has to do with Justin Jefferson and what they're able to do. But we've seen it recently that you're able to move the ball through the air on this team. And when you have a strong running attack, you're going to be able to help set that up.
So real upside for Amari Cooper, obvious upside for Nick Chubb in any game. The man is a beast.
Yeah.
Can I extrapolate that to mean that there is some upside for Jacoby Brissett in this game?
Not really. Somehow he finds a way to be efficient, but not be the guy who stands alone.
And so I think he's a sit.
He throws one touchdown. So he goes out there. He throws for 211 yards. Amari Cooper gets 101 of those. He gets a touchdown. Amari Cooper has a great game. And then a lot of it goes down to the running. What you need when you play somebody like Jacoby Brissett, you have to hope that when they get near the goal line, that they're far enough away to where they either have to go, and I know Njoku's out, but they have to find a way to throw it to Donovan Peoples-Jones, Amari Cooper, something like that, to get his touchdown totals up. I just don't think he'll have the yards.
I've got Njoku on my bench. I've got Higbee in my starting lineup. We'll talk about the Rams here in a bit. I am seeing a lot of people suggest that I sit Tyler Higbee. Would you suggest to me that I put David Njoku back in my starting lineup?
Is he healthy? Is he ready to go?
That's the question.
That's it. If he's healthy, I'm putting him in. I think David Njoku is a pretty special talent. He's one of those guys that, especially given, Dallas Goedert's not going to be playing, Zach Ertz is out for the season. David Njoku is sliding up the list of those tight ends that you can trust week in and week out. And it's tough trying to find a tight end option. So
that's a Sunday morning decision based on what I'm hearing about his availability, his active status prior to that one.
If he reports on game day morning and he says David Njoku's playing, then he played. By the way, years ago, I made up this little phrase where I said, hey, if David Njoku plays for the Cleveland Browns, he plays for your team. You know, funny little Sunday morning quip.
Prophetic, now as it turns out.
Now everybody says it.
Buffalo Bills, sauce. Other side of the football, Buffalo Bills, the home team. Josh Allen is a start.
Stephon Diggs
is a start. Anyone else?
You know what? Devin Singletary to me, because the matchup is pretty good, I'm going to go with him. Although the Bills have averaged just over 73 rushing yards per game this season. Last week, Devin Singletary scored a pair of touchdowns. That doubled the entire seasonal output of the Buffalo Bills from the running backs in regards to getting into the end zone. But I still think that Devin Singletary, even though the evidence is there, like if you think about what the Bills did in the offseason, they went out and drafted James Cook. They said, listen, I know Devin Singletary finished strong last year. We're going to bring in James Cook. Then they trade for Nyheim Hines. So every week, I don't want to play Devin Singletary. Last week, he scores a pair of touchdowns.
Yes, he does.
I look like an idiot. Be like, thanks for your time. I'm like, listen, the Bills had scored one rushing touchdown for the running backs the entire year. You were there. You were there the one week that it was a pair of scores, and then he did nothing. For a guy that scored two touchdowns on the ground, it is not the runaway fantasy matchup that it should have been.
It's hard to feel your way through a fantasy season and be successful overall. We play our gut here and there. Sometimes it hits. Quite often it doesn't. Most of the time we trust our eyes. We trust the stat lines. Is this person getting the carries? Is this person getting the targets? If not, how can you trust it? Thank you for your insight on that one.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. I am your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy. And today we are joined by the Rankster, Adam Rank, the merchant of fantasy hot sauce. He is giving us game picks, score predictions, and fantasy tips for every single week. 11 game, next game, the Washington Commanders on the road to face the Houston Texans. Now, Commanders, coming off of an unexpected win to break the unbeaten streak of their division rival Philadelphia Eagles. Taylor Heinicke is 4-1 as a starter this year. His only loss coming to the Minnesota Vikings in a game that, quite honestly, they should have won. I am not saying that he is a fantasy stud because we know that he isn't. You will answer that question in a moment. Let's give a little bit of context to this one. Numbers that stand out, that jump off of the stat page. Washington Commanders on offense, 30th in big plays, 30th in yards per play. They are bottom half on just about every single offensive metric. This is not an offensive team to trust. I cannot see a lot of fantasy value right on that side of the ball. On the other side of the ball, the Texans offense, 29th total, 29th in scoring, 30th on third downs, 31st in the red zone. So not a lot of fantasy value. We'll get to that in a moment, but a fascinating matchup nonetheless. When you consider that the most dynamic player on the field is very likely playing for the home team, Damian Pierce, 1-7-1. How do you see this one going down? Do the Commanders take an L after that unexpected dub, or do they follow up their win over the Eagles with another win on the road in Houston? What say you, Adam Rank?
I've seen it way too many times, and being on the road after playing a road Monday night game with an emotional win, give me the Texans here. Give me the Texans 19-18.
19-18, very interesting.
Low scoring game. Very close. And by the way, I will say this.
Those 18 points, are they coming from Joey Sly?
Of course, yeah.
All six. Six field goals from Joey Sly.
Six Joey Sly field goals. No, actually, I don't. No, I think that they keep missing. They have to keep going for two.
For two.
They somehow find themselves in a deficit, and then they have to keep going for two, and then they don't convert on those. I love the running backs in this game. The Houston Texans have allowed the most fantasy points to running backs this season. That's why I loved starting Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson. Volume for Brian Robinson alone. Receiving value for Antonio Gibson alone.
And, of course, Damian Pierce.
Damian Pierce is starting. No doubt about it.
Sorry, you were about to say Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin.
Is a must start.
Absolutely.
I sat him last week.
Why?
Because he was facing Slay.
No.
And in that matchup, I thought I was being clever. And this is one of those moments where I think we tend to overthink.
Wait, but who did you start over?
Who did I start? Josh Palmer and Jerry Jeudy.
Okay, Jerry.
And I lost by 1.9 total points.
Jerry Judy's inexcusable. I can get behind Josh Palmer. I can understand.
It was a target share decision. It was poor.
I would have advised against that.
I wish I had talked to you before.
May I say something though? As you sat here and you're like, well, the Commanders should have beaten the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes.
If I give that to you, I want you to admit
that
they should not have beaten the Bears.
That's absolutely true.
Okay. All right, then we're fine.
Yes, that's absolutely true. On the other side of the ball, Damian Pierce is the only start.
100%. Brandon Cooks, I think, is upset by his situation in Houston. Like, you signed the contract, buddy. Although, I feel bad. Like, Brandon Cooks'
epitaph in the NFL will read, not that happy.
Been traded for multiple first-round picks, unlike a lot of players who, you know, the Texans did trade away DeAndre Hopkins and got a second for it. But I will say this. What's interesting to note here, Eno Benjamin was claimed off waivers.
Yes, he was.
By the Houston Texans. Now, this week, he is not going to be likely eating into Damian Pierce's playing time. I'm curious why Houston made this move. To my knowledge, if I missed this, I apologize to everybody listening. Rex Burkhead's still available, right? Like, am I missing? Because I like Rex Burkhead, but they pretty much put him on the shelf. Rex Burkhead doesn't eat into Damian Pierce at all, to the point of like, what is Eno Benjamin filling that? And I like Eno Benjamin. Don't get me wrong. But he's like, you got Rex Burkhead already. I don't know.
The Eno Benjamin question will be answered in the weeks to come. We will circle back on that. Next game, Philadelphia Eagles, now with a blemish on their record at 8-1, on the road to take on the new look, old look, Indianapolis Colts, 4-5-1. We all saw what happened on Sunday. Introduced himself to Sundays again. Jeff Saturday put Matt Ryan back in the starting lineup. Jonathan Taylor was suddenly spry. And the Indianapolis Colts that we sort of expected to see all season suddenly materialized on the screen. There they were with a win. Now, granted, a lot of people say, well, don't kid yourself, Levy. They beat the Raiders. The Raiders are a tire fire. That game finished 25-20. My question to you, how does this one go down? Before you answer, the Eagles on offense, pretty impressive. Fourth total offense, third in scoring, fourth on third downs. They are tied for first in turnover differential. They are third in the red zone. They are third on big plays. But they are facing a Colts defense that is fourth in total defense, fourth on third down, tied for fourth in big plays, and fifth in yards per play. So this is a strength-on-strength matchup, which makes it very, very interesting to me. Am I overstating it to say that the Eagles are in danger of losing a second straight game to the Indianapolis Colts? How do you see this one going down?
Well, the last three teams to start 8-0 or better and then went on the road after losing their first game lost that following week.
Interesting.
Could not follow it up. But I still have a hard time picking against the Philadelphia Eagles here. I have them 31-20.
31-20, an 11-point win. The spread is 6.5.
Pretty commanding win, regardless of what happens. I still think that it's fun. It was fun to watch Jeff Saturday get that initial win. I don't think it's sustainable. I even kind of hinted at that last week. I think I had a similar score. I didn't pick the winner where I said, like, it's going to be 31-20. Either the Raiders blow this one so badly or, you know, the Colts find a way. I honestly believe, though, now that the novelty is going to start to wear off and you have NFL coaches watching what they were doing in Las Vegas or whatever it was, I think those coaches will now be like, okay, we're going to figure this out. And they're going to start to kind of expose Jeff Saturday just a smidge.
The one thing that Coach Bill Belichick figures out better than most, young quarterbacks. That takes us to our next game, the AFC East clash in Foxborough between the New York Jets at 6-3 and the New England Patriots at 5-4. Both of these teams are in the AFC playoff picture. Jets at 5, Patriots at 7. This game is Sunday at 1. Who wins it and how?
Patriots 17-14. The Patriots have won 13 consecutive games against the Jets. What do you want me to do? It's not like I don't believe in the Jets. I've said many favorable things about the Jets. Although the Jets now, you guys come after the Bears fans for no reason. Listen, we were not the ones who made your organization draft Zach Wilson over Justin Fields. We had nothing to do with that. Don't get mad at us. Don't try to knock down Justin Fields just because you're upset with your guy. That was your call. That wasn't mine. So leave me alone. I want to love the Jets, and I want to have some kinship with you, although you guys are currently 0-6 in your last six after the bye. I know Robert Saleh wasn't there for all of them. And also, I'm playing these trends, which I know is stupid, and again, I got to say this, like every game is of its own thing. Like, don't be the guy that walks up to the roulette wheel who's like, oh, well, blacks come up 8 times in a row. Reds do. Reds not do.
This is an interesting matchup when you look statistically. Jets, a tepid offense against an improving and potentially dominant defense on their week in New England. On the other side of the ball, the Jets' defense, quite strong. 7th overall, 3rd big play offense, 7th ranked total defense, 3rd ranked big play defense, and 4th ranked defense when it comes to yards per play against an offense in New England that is, quite honestly, just like the Jets offense, somewhat tepid. 17-14 certainly tells that story. Not a lot of scoring in this game. Any starts other than the Jets and potentially Patriots defensive units in this one?
I stupidly like James Robinson, and I have no reason. I have no reasonable explanation.
A gut call from Adam Rank says he stupidly likes James Robinson. There you go.
Mostly because I'm forced to start him because of too many bye weeks and the way I've set up my team. Like, Raheem Mostert's out this week. We also have Lombardi Lenny's out this week. Who else? I could look at my roster. I know that because I
you get to your roster. We'll get to the next game. It is the L.A. Rams, the defending Super Bowl champion L.A. Rams. Somebody should tell them that.
Yeah.
On the road in New Orleans to take on the Saints. Now, both of these teams are certainly suffering and experiencing a season defined by disappointment.
Yeah.
By expectations that have not been reached by execution. Who wins this game? What's the score?
I have the Saints winning 20-19 currently, because we're still waiting. It's Thursday. I want to make sure that Matthew Stafford is going to start. Johnny Dubs could be the starting quarterback. I don't know why Andy Dalton is still a starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, but we do know that Cooper Kupp is out. The Rams were averaging less than 70 points per game with Cooper Kupp, and now it's going to be much worse. And I look at both these teams, and what's interesting for me here, maybe Matt Stafford's, you know, has a chance to play some more seasons, but both these teams do not have a young quarterback in development. Neither one of them have a first round pick in this upcoming draft, which is loaded with quarterbacks. These are two situations that could turn dire. And I felt like last year, I don't know, you know this, the Rams seem to sell, I don't know, maybe it's because we're in LA and we see this more. I don't recall a team that celebrated a championship quite like the way the Rams did.
Yeah.
The Rams seemed to go overboard.
They were overserved. It's quite possible.
A little bit. I know that the Dodgers, when they won their bubble tournament, whatever that Texas tournament was in 2020, they were a little bit more subdued, but it's like, that was a fake title anyways. So I get it. I'm running long, aren't I?
Five games to go.
30
seconds on the clock for each.
All right.
Next game, Detroit Lions on the road to take on the New York Football Giants, who are 7-2 and currently sit fifth in the NFC playoff picture. Who wins it? What's the score?
I have the Giants winning this one 30-28. I know I promised a lot of my friends who root for the Giants that I would not pick the Giants because they feel scared that anytime the consensus is on the Giants, but I don't think you need to worry about that here. The Lions rallied last week, overcoming a 14-point deficit in the fourth quarter for the first time since I think Eric Hipple was the quarterback. And you know what? If their seven friends are on the Lions side again this week, then perhaps they have a chance. But I'm going to go with the Giants. Saquon Barkley is going to run all over this team. And my fantasy note is Daniel Jones, pretty athletic. Don't be shocked to see him run for 40-plus yards in this one.
Next game, Las Vegas Raiders, potentially the most disappointing team in the NFL this year at 2-7, on the road to take on their division rival Denver Broncos, who sit at 3-6. Denver defense is good.
Yep.
Raiders offense, not so bad at turnover differential, and that can be a compelling statistic. Not much else to celebrate, though, on either side of the ball for either team. There has to be a winner. Or does there have to be a winner? Who's the winner?
I almost picked the tie. Currently, I've got the Broncos going 29-28 in this one. Now, I know the Bronco fans are down on Nathaniel Hackett. And we saw what happened last week when the Colts fired their coach and brought in a guy who had never been a head coach at all. What if the Broncos fired Hackett and hired a cat, like a feline? Just let a feline go out there. And then, like, this just became a game show. Like, where every week, who can beat Josh McDaniels? And like, you know, a couple weeks from now, the Chargers are like, we're going to have a toaster as our head coach. What if it got so crazy that in week 18, the Chiefs go, you know what? We're going to have Matt Nagy. Okay, that's too far. I went too far. By the way, did you know that the Denver is 2-12 against the AFC West since 2020?
We do now. Any fantasy plays to make or avoid quickly?
Russell Wilson could be a huge option this week against that Raiders defense.
Next game, Dallas Cowboys on the road to take on the Minnesota Vikings. This is the TA game of the week.
Yeah, it is.
Cowboys at 6-3. Vikings, of course, at 8-1, the second seed in the NFC. Cowboys are the sixth seed in the NFC, having been supplanted at 5 by their division rival Giants. Who wins it and how?
Cowboys 28-27. Look, the Vikings, they are that friend of yours that outkicks their coverage, if you know what I mean. You're like, I don't know how they're doing it. But somehow they're finding a way to make things happen, and I love them for it. But at some point, the luck runs out. And I think the Cowboys, coming off that huge loss against the Green Bay Packers, will find a way to rally in this one. And you know what? Here's my fantasy conundrum here. What are we doing with Kirk Cousins? I would never, the Cowboys lead, the NFL with 35 sacks. Dare I play Kirk Cousins? Do I go against my own, but what I was saying before, where it's like, oh, you got to go with them.
What's the answer? Yes or no? Do you go with Kirk Cousins?
I'm going with Kirk Cousins.
You're going with Kirk Cousins. Thank you. Next game, Cincinnati Bengals. Again, a divisional game on the road at Heinz Field to take on the Steelers. Bengals are 5-4, just outside the AFC playoff picture. Steelers at 3-6. Mike Tomlin orchestrated an unexpected win in the minds of many people against the Saints last week. Does he get another home win against the Bengals, who are coming off of a bye?
Oh my gosh. The Steelers are 5-1-1 against teams coming off a bye. Best record in such games. Two of those five wins are against the Bengals.
And?
I'm going to go with the Bengals.
28-17.
Kenny Pickett over Joe Burrow. I won't do it. And I know that TJ Watt is healthy. He's back. I'm going to stick with the Bengals. And in your fantasy note, I will tell you that Joe Mixon won't have five touchdowns this week. He just won't. And also remember that next year when you're doing your analysis and you're like, Joe Mixon is the RB6. No. Five of his touchdowns came in one game. So remember that. But play him. Oh, also start T. Higgins, who's going to have a monster game against the Steelers, who have allowed the second most fantasy points to wide receivers this year.
Two games to go. Next one is an AFC West battle across the street at SoFi Stadium. The Kansas City Chiefs at 7-2, in my estimation, the best football team in the NFL. Playing the LA Chargers, in my estimation, the second most disappointing team in the NFL after their SoFi
roommates. So you think the Chiefs are the best team?
I think the Chiefs are absolutely the best team in the NFL, and I think they'll prove it at the end of the year. They have the best player. They have the best play caller. They have the most dynamic offense.
Best player, Juju?
The best. You're a funny man.
Mahomes.
Who wins it and how?
I'm going to go Chiefs 27-25. Mahomes does not lose to the Chargers in L.A. He just doesn't. And he's 3-1 against Herbert, that lone loss, of course, coming in Kansas City. Mahomes 4-0 in primetime games. It makes way too much sense. The Chargers are once again not living up to expectations, and it bums me out. And fantasy-wise, the Chiefs have a two-headed running back situation, a rotation, whatever you want to call it. I don't like either guy. We do like Kadarius Toney. Juju is questionable. Mecole missed last week. Toney could build on his touchdown from last week. But why are you taunting the fantasy gods with your end zone celebration, faking like you have an injury? Like, dude, I don't think that you've shown enough in the course of your career to be pulling out that celebration just yet.
One game to go. That game takes place on Monday night in Mexico City. Our good friend MJ Acosta Ruiz will be there covering that game. It takes place between the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. It is an NFC West matchup of two teams heading in different directions, in my estimation. 49ers on paper may be the best roster in the NFL. Cardinals, in reality, may be the most bewildering team in the NFL. Who wins it and how?
49ers, 31-24. I truly believe that the 49ers, if they're not the best team in the NFC, they're the second best. And you look at Debo, who is almost an afterthought in some of these games. They are loaded at all the skill positions, so I think the 49ers just overwhelm them. Fantasy-wise, don't trip about CMC. I know that Eli Mitchell was getting all those goal line looks, but CMC is just way too valuable in the passing game. And George Kittle this week is going up against the most generous team to opposing tight ends in all of fantasy football. Anytime you see the Arizona Cardinals matching up against a team, start that squad's tight end.
I want to thank today's special guest, Adam Rank, the purveyor of hot sauce, the maker of game picks. Adam, thank you for being here. Join us tomorrow for Friday answers to Sunday questions like, who wins? Was Adam right? Was Adam wrong? Who scores? Who stars? Who stumbles? Who are we putting on upset alert? Till then, ciao for now. NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.